Life of the Press.
Hot, hot news.
Good and bad.
Follow us, subscribe.
That's the only way you're going to see it.
No, F of the Press.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this evening. We got Sheikhs Rambedi in the building, the man who's a football aficionado. I always see his videos after probably each game, especially now even in COSAFA. He's still on the job, which is actually very interesting. You know, I think some people have taken a bit of a break from the football and everything. But Sheikhs, how are you doing?
I'm all right, man. Look, I was actually speaking with someone to say that unfortunately football just never stops. You know, it's like it's COSAFA after COSAFA. Olympics is coming around. Like, I can't wait to watch the under-23, see how they do as well. And then there's obviously this final this weekend as well. So there's just always just football that just comes in and out. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nonstop. I think, you know, with the Euros, I know you were tweeting a lot about the Euros and obviously now COSAFA, and hey man, it's just chock-a-block. But I think it's good. You know, I think it keeps us busy, especially during this lockdown. Imagine there was no football. What would you be watching on a weekend? You know, you'd probably have to watch other sports now.
Bro, and you speak about that, and I gotta tell you, last year when we went into lockdown the first time, I think it was March, and there was no sport at all or no football at all for four months, I think, before they suddenly started to bring things slowly. I tell you, man, that was probably the greatest time of my partner's life because we're watching everything she wanted to watch. You know, it was I didn't know about a lot of shows that were available because I just watched too much football. So I was watching these series and all that.
No, true. You end up watching things that you never even knew they existed.
Exactly. Like, I mean, everybody laughs at me. I only started really watching Being Mary Jane, for example, last year. I never knew this stuff existed because I was too much watching football. That's my thing. So thank God there's football, man, you know?
No, but that's all good. Let's get into it. CAF Champions League final. The last time we had you on the show, it was before the semifinals. And that's when, after Gavin Hunt was fired, and obviously since then, Kaizer Chiefs has now made it into the Champions League final. And I remember one of the things that you said is that you think it's not a good thing for Chiefs to make it to the final because a lot of contracts were coming up at the end of June, like your Bernard Parkers, your Katsandes, and so on. You know, there's quite a number of contracts that are coming up. I even heard that Raman Pahlele as well. So, you know, what do you now think, obviously, after the fact? You know, now they're in the final, and obviously they've had to, you know, extend these contracts a bit further, you know?
Yeah, no, I did definitely say that because of the fact that they would have to extend players' contracts as well. And a number of them are coming to an end. And as you can see with reports going around, some of them are on short-term deals. So one more month of them because of the final that's being played this weekend. But also some of them have scored themselves a one-year extension being at the club as well. And you could just already see what the signings that they've made. They've really gone aggressively into the market. They've bought some really good players, in my opinion. I feel that way. And I just think they had to extend because in all of Kaizer Chiefs' history, you would probably argue that this is the biggest game of their entire history. 100%. You know, of the entire... 100%. Exactly. So they had to sort of renew. They didn't have a choice. And they have to throw everything they can at this situation. I mean, if it means extending contracts, then so be it. They have to do that. But I don't think next season a lot of these players are going to play, though. Even the ones with one-year extensions, I don't think they're going to play a lot, actually.
No, but I think also it's the experienced players that are in the situation. You know, your Parkers, and I know Parker wanted a two-year contract, whereas Chiefs wanted to offer 1 year, and then Katsande as well. He's quite old, you know. But I think they've gotten the team to this position, you know. So they have kind of earned themselves a 1 year contract extension because Parker and Katsande have played quite a number of games during this this CAF journey. Rama not so much. And then obviously, you know, I think also the goalkeeping situation, I think that's another different ball game because now they've got five senior goalkeepers in the club with this latest signing, which I don't understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to be like Mamelodi Sundowns, who's got like 20 million goalkeepers on their books. but I think it's just going into the whole goalkeeping situation. There are three goalkeepers who've played in the CAF journey. Which one do you think should start on Saturday?
And funny enough, man, it's great that you actually asked this question, because I feel like that's probably, going into this final, this is probably the hardest question, because of whenever they've had time in the goalpost in the Champions League, I think they've done really well. I think even Kune, even though, for example, they lost against Wydad in the group stages 4-0, if it wasn't for Kune, that game could have probably ended 8, you know. They've shown some really great performances. Daniel Pe had that one time he got the red card, yes, but his performance against Wydad recently, when Vuma was absent, he did really well in that second leg. And then
Yeah,
you
he
look at
did, yeah.
Bruce Vuma, I mean, Bruce Vuma, really, he's growing, he's getting better as a goalkeeper, I do believe. The more I see him, I just think, I think he's ready. I think he's ready to sort of step up into being number one. So you sort of ask yourself, who do you go with? Who's the best? You know, what decision do you make? In my opinion, my personal opinion, I feel based on ability, Itumeleng Khune is the best of the three right now. Right now, in terms of potential, I think Vuma's next. I think Daniel Pe is definitely someone that you can trust as a plan B. And because of the magnitude of this game and what it means to this club, I think this is
Expensive
where you
Kunia.
throw, yeah, that's I think this is where you throw form out the window, where you're like, Vuma, I know you've been good. Daniel Pe, I know you've been good, but you have to go with Kune, man. Because I would go with Kune, because ability wise, distribution wise, he still has some reflexes, but obviously this is also a risk, because this is not the best Kune that we've ever seen. But based on right now, of the three goalkeepers, I would probably say Kune is the best option. But what I think Stuart Baxter will go with is he'll probably go with Bruce Vuma, I think.
Yeah, because it is tricky, because myself, when I think about it, that distribution of Kune, right? For instance, if you're a team that's going to defend for most of the game, and then Kune's got the ball, then he's got an opportunity to start the counter-attack, you know? But also, I think another factor is, I remember, I think it was one of the games against Wydad, I felt that Chiefs needed a speedy person in the game. Because they would have Castro and Nukovic together, right? And then when the goalkeeper has the ball, or they break up play, when they counter, Nukovic and Castro are not fast. You know,
They're not.
you need a speedy person like a Zuma or a Bilyat to stretch them, you know, and go past them, you know, and with the skill and everything. But then what you found is that they would attack. You pass it to Ngoba's not fast. Castro's not fast. Nurkovic is not fast, then we'll kind of slow down the pace of the counterattack. So I think
And
the
Parker as
selection as
well.
well. Yeah, Parker as well, you see. So the selection, I think, is going to be a very big factor, apart from the goalkeeping situation. Bilet hasn't played for quite a while. He is
And
in the squad, but I think he should definitely be someone who comes off the bench rather than start the game.
I was actually about to ask you that question, in terms of Bilyat hasn't played for such a long time, and you sort of feel like if you're talking about pace, if you're talking about trickery, if you're talking about trying to beat a man, beat defenses, Bilyat is probably one of the players you definitely go with. You cannot undermine his talent that he does have, despite the fact that he hasn't had such a great season. And it's like you almost feel like, just like the last time when you looked at Wydad and the way that Kaizer Chiefs scored the last goal, it was luckily the fact that Rief Rossler passed the ball to Njabulo Blom. He had to make the run down the wing, cross it in, and then Nurkovic had that finish that he had. So you sort of do need the pace, and it does come a billiard start as well. That's going to be very interesting. And for me, it's because teams have never been here. So it's like, because you've never been here, you probably play your best players that you can, right? Like it's that's my
It's
thing.
the
It's probably
yeah.
you throw every card that you can play. You know, you throw every card you can play. If you're playing Street Fighter and you make it to the last round, I mean, you gotta whip out all the tricks. You know, you
Yeah,
gotta whip out all
no.
the tricks. So it's gonna be interesting what they do for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree. I think that element of a person like Bilyat has won a CAF Champions League. He's the only player in the team that's won a CAF Champions League. So I think that
No,
experience of
there's two. Castro, didn't Castro win it as
Oh,
well?
Castro, yes, you're right. Yeah,
Yeah,
CBD, CBD,
Castro, yeah,
CBD,
CBD,
yeah, CBD.
CBD, yeah.
Yeah, Castro was a part of CBD, you're right. Yeah, so Castro and Bilyat. So I think, what do you do then? Do you start We might as well touch on the formation, because that's the question. Do they play 3-5-2? Do they play 4-3-3? You know, I think Chiefs in the second leg against Wydad, they played a 3-5-2. Whereas sometimes in the season they've played a 4-3-3 with Ngcobo as the most advanced midfielder, with Blom and Parker sitting a bit deeper. So what do you think should be the way to go? Because I was looking at some analysis earlier where they talk about Al Ahly plays a 4-2-3-1 formation most of the time, and that's what they've been playing.
Yeah, no, I mean, with Chiefs, I think anyone who's watched Chiefs throughout the season as well, even me, I mean, when I see them going up against Al Ahly is the reigning champions, very good side. And one thing I've noticed about Al Ahly as well with Peter Osimhen, it's about the result. It's really about the result. And regardless of the fact that, for example, when they played Mamelodi Sundowns played the better football, but Al Ahly ended up progressing though. And I think because of the experience that they have, I think we're going to see another game like we did. I think Chiefs sit back here and they wait on the counter and they wait for a moment to sort of break. And I think we're probably going to have three at the back again. I think they're definitely going to go three at the back, the two wing backs as well, and probably two midfielders, and they're going to probably stick two up front. And the two up front, do you go Castro and Bilyat, or do you go Castro and Nurkovic, or do you go Nurkovic and Bilyat? But I would probably would think the Chiefs are going to sit back again, and they're going to have probably three at the back, no doubt, with the wing backs and as well two in midfield. The two would probably be Parker and as well as maybe Njabulo Blom.
Yeah,
Maybe the
Blom.
two.
I think Blom needs to start because he's got a bit more pace than Parker. We can't have Gatsande. We can't have some pensioners, two pensioners in the midfield. You can have experience, but you can't have pensioners in the midfield. You know, you need to have, because you need some dynamic midfielders. Because what's that guy from this Mali international that plays for Al Ahly, their number 15. You know,
The
that
number
guy is
15 that
great.
sits in the middle.
Yeah, he's very dynamic. He's very good in the midfield, and he's very combative, and he bosses the midfield. You know, I think he's probably be one of the standout players for Al Ahly. I think now we can actually think about Al Ahly and their dangerous players. What's this? Mohamed Sherif is the leading goal scorer in the Champions League with 5 goals. And then they've got one of their midfielders who's got 4 assists. So what do you think on Al Ahly's side? Who are the players that Chiefs need to be mindful of?
I think like you said, Sheriff has been quality for them and has been scoring goals for them as well. And I also do think the midfield, I just forgot his name, but I know who you're talking about. And he's also an anchor. He's such a really good anchor as well. They have to also look out for him as well. And I also do think one thing I did see about Al Ahly that they do so well is it's almost they draw you in. So they draw you in, they keep the possession, they draw you in, and then they release the ball. And then once they release over the top, they go over the top, and they've got such speedy players as well. And eventually they get behind you, and then they score the goal. I think they have to also be cognizant of that with regards to Kaizer Chiefs. I think also the fact that how they would also be patient, because Al Ahly, they're very patient with what they're trying to do. They know that the result will eventually come. Let's not rush it as well. And I think that's what also Kaizer Chiefs needs to be wary of. And I know Stuart Baxter and others one and will definitely be wary of that type of play. And they'll definitely, I think Chiefs are definitely gonna sit back. They're gonna be very tight. And the very key thing is Al Ahly mustn't score early. And Chiefs as well, for their own reasons. Al Ahly would not want Chiefs to score early as well, because you saw what happened with Wydad as well, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because if you think about it, and the way that Pizzo, as you say, he likes to draw you in, you know, with the way he's been playing with Al Ahly, is that, you know, he plays with the, you know, he passes the ball to center back passes out to the right back and the left back, and then he tries to pass out from the back, you know, and obviously once you do press, once they beat the press, you know, then obviously they're going to play the ball forward. But then also, will Chiefs be willing to press, you know, because Chiefs might also want to sit deep and then try not commit too many bodies forward. I think I was actually very surprised with the way Chiefs played against Wydad in the second leg. There was so many times where we were left exposed at the back, where it felt like we were trying to get another goal. And I was like, okay, what is this? Is this maybe Baxter telling the guys, don't sit too deep? Try, when you do get the ball, go for it a bit, because there will be times where there'll be a counterattack that Wydad had. Whereas in the first leg in Casablanca, it was very much, you know, hold the fort, hold the fort, hold the fort. So I was thinking, like, you know, the influence of Baxter. I remember someone was saying that You know, that team that played the second leg, that was a Baxter team. Like, that was Baxter tactics, Baxter team. So what do you think in terms of the Baxter's influence? Because obviously, I don't know if he's gotten his work permit yet, so he might not be on the bench, but obviously he's the one who's been helping them train.
No doubt. No doubt. I think also with me, I would say the same thing. In the second leg, I thought Chiefs was slightly more open than they were in the first. I mean, in the first, they really frustrated with that. I mean, they really frustrated them. They closed them completely. But whereas in the second leg, there were times you just thought it's a combination of Wydad not being clinical enough and as well as Chiefs are lucky as well, because Ekpe made some really good saves. You know, he made good saves. And you sort of think to yourself, the quality that Al Ahly have, and you look at the goal, for example, the goals that they've scored in the competition, the goal against Mamelodi Sundowns, the first one, the first leg in Egypt, that one, it was from outside the box. It was a rocket. That's the sort of types of goals that you sort of want to avoid. So with Al Ahly, if they have a gap that is open, you sort of feel like they definitely could punish. And I do think it's an influence of Baxter. Baxter does also would want the team to sort of play in transition as well. But also when you look at the Chiefs team, I've always told people this, there's no other way this team can play. They can't outplay Al Ahly, this team.
They can't outplay
Wydad. They have to sit back and play on the transition. They can't do anything else. Especially when you look at the many players that they have that you would say that are overaged or slow, or you would describe them as that way. There's no other way this team can play. They can't outplay teams, and they have to play that way. And I think that's sort of the approach that Stuart Baxter is going to also take with regards to Al Ahly as well.
No, I definitely agree with you. I just want to check some of these comments. You know, Claudio is asking, will Beto get the sack if Al Ahly lose? I don't think so, but I don't know what you think.
I don't think so, but obviously for them, this is their daily bread as well. I mean daily bread in the sense of they've won this competition the most, Al Ahly as well. So you sort of do feel as though if they do not win it, and you have to also consider Kaizer Chiefs as well being the opponent that you lose to. You know, as big as Kaizer Chiefs is, this is not the best Kaizer Chiefs side, guys.
In the last decade, that's true.
Yeah, it's not the best Kaizer Chiefs side. So it's almost as if like, If Al Ahly were obviously the reigning champions, you lose to a team that came eighth and that didn't perform so well domestically as well. How would they view that? Would they say that did he fail or did he not fail in terms of Champions League success? But I don't think he will go. But I do think there might be disappointment from a lot of probably fans in Al Ahly in the sense of how did you lose to this team? You know, because it's not the greatest Chiefs side of anybody who knows.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think, because it's one of those where, you know, you ask yourself, yes, Beto has, I think he has less pressure this season than last season. I think more than anything, he needs to win something. So firstly, obviously, I think they're 10 points behind Zamalek with four games in hand, which means they'll be, if they win all their games in hand, they'll be 2 points ahead. So if he doesn't win anything at all, I think then that's when the pressure will mount. You know, I think he has to win something. So already if he wins the Champions League, then he has less pressure to win the Egyptian League. Then, you know, he can go into the next season with one trophy already. So I think definitely one trophy, the league or Champions League, he should be sorted. But without any of those, I think then the pressure will be there. Because also I think he's on a 2-year contract, so which comes up at the end of next season, I think it is. So
2023, is it?
Oh, 2023. Okay, yeah. So you see, obviously, then the pressure will definitely be there. But I think, you know, it's football. I think I saw a WhatsApp group that I'm in with some guys I went to high school with, and you know, people were saying that there is no therefore in football, but there is a therefore this weekend. Chiefs will lose. I was like, guys, you can't say there's no therefore in football and say that Chiefs are going to lose. You know what I mean? I think you need to give every team a chance. If a team's in the final, I always believe that if it's 11 against 11, then you've got a chance to win a game. You know what I mean? No one thought Chiefs was gonna get the points at Horoya. You know, no one thought Chiefs was gonna beat Wydad in Casablanca. You know, no South African team has done that. Chiefs have done stuff that Mamelodi Sundowns and Pirates have both failed to do.
Yeah. You know,
so that shows
Yeah, and you'd sort of argue with the fact that in terms of how this season has done, they've been able to break records. And that's the thing with Chiefs. I can even tell you right now, if you had to ask me in terms of do I think Chiefs will beat Al Ahly, I probably would say I don't think they will. And I've got my own reasons for why I don't think Chiefs will be able to beat Al Ahly. But I said the same thing about Wydad. I said the same thing about Simba. I said the same thing about the group stages. I said this. I didn't think Chiefs would get this far. The moment they got to the group stages, I thought that was it. But they managed to make history, and who knows? They definitely could do it. You can't rule them out. The only reason why I would probably say Al Ahly will probably get the win is because I think Peter Osimhen being their coach is a huge advantage for Al Ahly, because Peter Osimhen knows Kaizer Chiefs, and he knows Kaizer Chiefs in the sense of he's beaten them before and he's lost to Kaizer Chiefs before, because Peter Osimhen, even at Sundowns, he lost to the Steve Compeller Kaizer Chiefs. He lost to the Middendorp Kaizer Chiefs. You know, he's lost to the Stuart Baxter Kaizer Chiefs as well.
He's lost to all of them,
He's lost to all of them. So Kaizer Chiefs have always been able to get a certain result over him. So he's not going to walk in there being complacent in the way that I felt Wydad and Simba and all those teams were very complacent against Kaizer Chiefs. They underestimated them. But I know Peter Osimhen is not going to walk in there and be underestimating them and saying, oh, they're like this, they're like that. He'll be wary of them at the fact that he knows he can beat them, but he also knows that, hey, it just takes one transition, one counter, and that's about it.
No, that's true. And if Chiefs do definitely get that one goal, they will sit on that goal. They will sit and it will be game over. It will be game over. But I was also thinking about a situation where maybe the match goes into penalties, you know, because obviously it's a once-off game. You know, the match can go into penalties. And I think also if it does go into penalties, I think a team like Chiefs will probably back themselves in a penalty shootout, you know, to say, okay, cool, guys, we're gonna win this game. And, you know, we've lost it, you know, 120 minutes and we're in a penalty shootout. Now let's go for it. And then luck has been on Chiefs' side so many times this season, so many times. And I think that luck can continue if they go into a penalty shootout. But I think they just need to be wary of a team like Al Ahly. And as you said, Peter Mosimane being the coach of Al Ahly definitely helps him, because he can't be complacent, you know. Chiefs beat Mamelodi Sundowns a lot of times under his tenure. And they were the dominant team in the league at that time, you know. You know, so he knows even last season, the three wise men lost to Chiefs, you know, so you can never count Chiefs out in any match. The underdog that it is in this final, you know, it can never be underestimated. But do you think, you know, I just want to touch on, you think that this going forward can help Chiefs and propel them for the upcoming PSL season with the seven signings that they've made? And obviously, I think there are other signings that are to be made. Some people are saying that the prize money will be utilized to get maybe a double home Mokoena, for instance, or another forward, you know?
Without a doubt. I already think what they've achieved in the Champions League already, regardless if they win the final or not, this is really going to be the catalyst for Kaizer Chiefs going forward, without a doubt. And I say catalyst because of the success they've tasted. You want that success again. You want that success again. I'm sure Kaizer Chiefs in themselves, they're probably kicking themselves to say, why didn't we take it serious all along? Why didn't we take it serious all along? And you look at it in terms of just how big the brand has gotten just from doing what they're doing, from reaching the final as well. Even the fact that just them reaching the semifinal, the money that they received from that is already a lot. It's like for a team who finished eighth to make that amount is a great season. It's a really, really great season. And because of that success, Kaizer Chiefs are going to want to taste it again. And let's not also forget, Kaizer Chiefs is the most decorated team in South Africa in terms of if you count every single trophy. Yeah, they've got the most trophies. So the fact that they don't have this one, and if they happen to get here, it's only going to spur them to always want to keep getting here, to always want to also keep competing at the stage. And also another thing is that the fans too, man. I mean, we're not going to, I mean, fans are not going to get to the final now. And then next season, okay, group stages is fine. And first nope. round is fine. And quarterfinals is fine. No, now it's like,
semifinals, yeah.
Yeah, you're at the bar of Sundowns now where the fans expect every season, I want you to be in the semifinals. I want you to be past the group stages. I want you to be there. So after this season, I don't think Chiefs can ever go back to, guys, let's just win MTN8 and that's about it. It's like, no, bro, we have to go back to Africa. We have to go back to Africa. And the successes that come off Africa is huge, guys. It's huge. I mean, Peter was coaching against Bayern Munich, guys. I mean, this guy was Koma Milodi.
Exactly.
A couple of seasons
exactly.
ago. Now look at Koma Milodi, and now he's coaching against Bayern Munich at the Club World Cup. He's at the Club World Cup for the second time around, you know. So that sort of success, once you tasted, you want it again and again. And Kids Chiefs, I think it will be the catalyst, no doubt.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, in the past week or so, you know, there's been these interviews that Jessica Motaung and Vina's done, the communications manager for Chiefs, where they're talking to guys in North Africa. Né? That person is speaking in an Arabic language, né? And they've got these headphones on, and obviously it's being translated to English. Then they speak, then someone translates what they're saying to English. These guys are being put on platforms where they're speaking to so many people. You know, on that platform, and that in itself shows you how big this tournament is in North Africa, for instance. And I think, obviously, you know, in the past, you know, obviously in the early 2000s, Sundowns did get to a Champions League final and they lost to Al Ahly. But then, going towards 2010, there wasn't really a South African team that was doing well. Then, obviously, just after 2010, where Roger Desai took Pirates, like 2013. You know, but only the last 4 years where now, as you said, Sundowns have obviously won. They want to be in the semifinals. And I think it will be the same for Chiefs. Like, you want to be one of the top four teams in Africa. You want to qualify first and foremost. And to qualify, you need to be in the top two in your league. Where are we?
Yep.
Number eight. So Kaizer Chiefs definitely needs to get back into the top two first and foremost. If they don't win the competition, because obviously if they win, they'll go back next season. Spare thought for Gavin Hunt. Listen, Gavin Hunt did his job. There was this big debate on Kaizer Chiefs Twitter, where these certain people were saying, no, man, who's Gavin Hunt? He got us to eighth position in the log. He must go, whatever, whatever. But then, you know, from my side is that Gavin Hunt got the team to the semifinals. Somewhere they've never been.
Yeah.
And I think he definitely deserves his dues for getting this far.
Without a doubt. And when you look at how the team has been performing in the Champions League.
What happened there? Oh,
I'm
Shakes,
not sure.
Is that your connection?
No, my connection is fine. Are you all right?
I'm all good. I don't know. It went. I don't know what happened, but it's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I mean, one thing I will say is that judging by the way the team has been playing in the CAF Champions League and how they played against Wydad, can you argue and say Gavinan couldn't have done the same thing?
No,
he probably could have.
He could have
adopted the same tactics as well. He probably could have gotten them to the final as well. So, look, I mean, obviously, it's a shame that it had to come to an end. Look, I respect Gavin Hunt. I don't care who says what, honestly speaking, because I just think sometimes we shouldn't have a short-term memory. In South Africa, sometimes we have a short-term memory, man. Like, at some point...
Way too much.
Yeah, way too much. Way too much. And I think one of the examples is Gavin Hunt having to go to Chiefs and being underrated. Well, he finished eighth. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of bad decisions that he made. But still, you sort of feel like he's not a bad coach now. And he got them to the semifinals as well. And people must look at that squad as well. Why do you think Chiefs have gone aggressively as they have? Because they know if we kept that same squad, we're not finishing second. Or we're not finishing second. So when they went and got the Ngobo, they went and got the Skotas, they went and got those players as well, bringing Tibedi back. They had to do that business in order to compete. And they know that too. So, Gavin Hunt, look, man. He's gone on. And I wish him all the best with regards to his career. But Chiefs need to win this, no doubt.
Yeah, no, Chiefs definitely need to win this. You know, I think, You know, people also forget that Chiefs have won an African competition, even though it wasn't the main competition in the early 2000s. I was actually at Ellis Park for because obviously it was a two-legged game. I was actually at Ellis Park for the second leg, and that atmosphere in itself, it was going crazy. You could go on the field for the trophy presentation. Patrick Mabedi, I think, was the captain at the time. He lifted the trophy. Yeah. You know, like this is even a bigger level. You know, this is a bigger level. This is not. Kev Confederations Cup. This is the Champions League final, where if you win, Kaizer Chiefs will go to the Club World Cup and play with Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah, and look, and Chiefs, unfortunately, they have to win it. Hey, at some point they have to, because it's that whole debate you have going on year after year. Pirates saying we got a star. Sundowns saying we got a star. Now there's still one team left of the big three that doesn't have one, and they have to get the star however they get it, and obviously because it changes the perception as well. I think Sundowns being competing in Club World Cups and competing in these competitions have really changed the narrative of how we sort of look at African football. I think for me, it changed when all of a sudden Bangani Zungu went overseas. All of a sudden, Keegan Dolly went overseas. All of a sudden, Pestau was going overseas as well. And that's the sort of kind of eyes this sort of competition attracts as well. And having to go to Club World Cup as well, that's the eyes that attracts. And that's the eyes we need to keep on ourselves. And if teams win it, man, I tell you, man, it's going to be a catalyst for big things.
No, I agree. Cause your football can only grow with exposure to such tournaments. You know, I think we need to take them seriously, and I'm glad that Chiefs took it seriously. And to have two teams in the knockout stages was great. You know, I think we should always have two teams in the knockout stages, similar way to the Egyptians, and the Tunisians and the Moroccans. They strive to have two teams in the knockout stages. And you know, we in the past, it was always just one team taking it seriously, you know, or two teams taking it seriously, which was Sundowns and Pirates. But Chiefs, you know, they had their own views about it. But yeah, I think it will be, Chiefs need to definitely, you know, do the job and do it for South Africa. And also, I think we can't forget the fact that, you know, the unrest and all the difficult times that have been going on in the past week and a couple, and also with COVID in South Africa, Kaizer Chiefs is the most supported club in South Africa. Like a Kaizer Chiefs win would bring so much happiness to so many households. You know, if people have maybe lost their jobs and lost loved ones, that'll bring some sort of joy and some sort of, you know, happiness in these difficult times. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but you know, sport sometimes does lift people's moods, and Kaizer Chiefs winning this final would definitely be that. There's a question here: who gets the credit if Chiefs lift the trophy? Another Lampard versus Tuchel or Di Matteo situation? Hey, listen, the person who gets the credit is the coach who's on the bench. So if Adazwane is the one on the bench and Baxter is the one in the stands, whatever, him and Baxter and Adazwane will hold the trophy together as coaches, you know what I mean? And when it's the time for the captain to lift the trophy, it definitely will be Bernard Parker, even though, like, previously Kune was the captain or whatever, you know. I think, hey man, whoever's on the field is the one who gets the credit. And I think at the end of the day, the person who's the coach in the dugout is the one who gets the credit. Yeah, I think what do you think, Shakes, on that?
I was gonna say, in the sense of, you're right, the person who is at the bench actually does get the credit. I actually kind of, like, there's a part of me that does feel a little bit sorry for the previous coach, who's not gonna have it on his CV to say, if Chiefs win, I won the CAF Champions League. All he's going to have on his CV is, I got them to the semifinals, and that's what that was about it. So I think we're going to have another one of those. But to be fair, I think Tuchel did really well at Chelsea, by the way.
Chelsea,
so, yeah, I think he did really well to go past the last 16, quarterfinals, I mean semifinals and final. But yeah, I do feel for Gavin Hunt. But the person who gets the credit will be the current technical team with Dylan Shepard and Oliver Nzeki and Stuart Baxter and others one.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to just something that I actually wrote down, you know. The fact that since the semifinals, Al-Ahli's played 4 matches, winning 3 and drawing 1. Then Kaizer Chiefs have played no competitive games since the semifinals. How do you think that will play a part?
That's also a very interesting question in terms of who actually has the advantages. Is it the well-rested team or is it the team that's been playing football ever since? And I think Al-Ahli has the advantage here. I think they'll have the momentum. I think they'll have the match fitness as well, because there's a difference between training fitness and as well as match fitness. And they've been having that. They've been having that sense of competitive action when they're playing as well, that pressure to sort of win 3 points as well. So the fact that they go in there with that sort of fitness, I think they definitely are the ones that have the advantage. But at the same point, Kaizer Chiefs have been watching Al-Ahli games, and they've probably realized what's their weakness, what's their strengths, and what they have to do as well. So there's an advantage for them too. But I probably would say Al-Ahli has the most advantage here. Also considering the fact that I think Al-Ahli is a better team than Chiefs as well.
100%. Yeah, and I think they're a better oiled machine. So that momentum definitely has helped them in the last 4 games. I think they won their last game 4-1. Then the other one, they won 2-0. And then the other one, they also scored 4 goals. And then they drew 2-2 the first game after the semifinals. And that does definitely play a factor. I think in the past, in the UEFA Champions League, people have said that PSG's intensity wasn't what it needs to be in the knockout stages because of their league wasn't competitive enough. So I think, yeah, that match fitness definitely will help Al-Ahli. But yeah, I just hope that Kaizer Chiefs are well rested and they've got something up their sleeve, But yeah, just your final thoughts, going into this final.
Yeah, final thoughts, I would probably have to say, I think for me personally, when Chiefs made it out of the group stages, they had already succeeded for me. So the fact that they are here, whether they win or lose, I think that's something they can definitely be proud of. Peter Nsumane, if he happens to win a third Champions League, how much more praise can you give a man, you know? And he goes to show that he's a hardworking man and he's someone that I highly respect in terms of how seriously he takes his craft. I would probably have to say good luck to Kaizer Chiefs. Even though I do feel Al-Ahli is a stronger team, they got here and they've proved a lot of doubters wrong. And I guess from South Africa's standpoint, we can only wish Kaizer Chiefs and as well as Peter Mswane good luck.
No, definitely. I agree. I completely agree. I think it's just one of those things where, it's a football match at the end of the day. Al-Ahli are heavy, heavy favorites, heavy favorites. Kaizer Chiefs have only scored probably, I would say, half the goals. I was looking at the numbers. They've scored 12 goals, whereas Al-Ahli scored 23 goals, literally half the goals that Al-Ahli have scored in the competition. So that already tells you that they'll be up against it. All I can say is all the best to Chiefs. You know, I think there's a new hashtag. It's Amakosi We Believe. That is it. You know, Amakosi We Do Believe. Sheikhs, thanks again for coming through. I think we'll probably have a post mortem show if possible to say that Kaizer Chiefs did well to win and so on. If there are Kaizer Chiefs fans who are watching this this show, support the team, pray. I know there's an all night prayer. I saw somebody there say there's a Twitter Spaces all night prayer starting tomorrow at 11 PM. So they're doing all kinds of weird and wonderful things to spur the team on. And all other supporters of other clubs that have been supporting Chiefs and giving them well wishes. It's great to see. I know Sundowns fans will never do that, but we're just trying to do the country proud.
No doubt. Rivalry is very serious here in the country, without a shadow of a doubt. But yeah, Kaizer Chiefs, man, listen, man. I mean, if they're listening to this, if they're hearing it at all or anything like that, give it their best. They have to give it their best. This is the biggest game they've ever played in their whole, in the whole history. That's, give it your best, man, and play the best that you can, and that's all you can do is just give it your best. I mean, if I was fighting against, I don't know, Anthony Joshua, I mean, I'd have to get into serious shape in order to win those titles. So I have to use my best guns, and they have to use their best guns as well.
Exactly. Yeah, play to your weakness, play to your strengths. And Kaiser Chiefs' strengths are set pieces. Just get that cross in, Matoa, goal, or Nukovic, and defend.
Great. I'm telling you, if
that's
Chiefs
all,
score early,
that's all. Yeah.
That's the last thing Al Ahly want, if Chiefs score early. But at the same point as well, the last thing Chiefs want is for Al Ahly to score early as well. Because if Chiefs open up, it's, yo, man, it's going to be, exactly.
Yeah. One thing I do hope for is that it shouldn't be a massacre. You know, I mean, I think if Al Ahly wins by a 2-goal margin, that is still respectable. But more than 2 goals, that's, it'll be an embarrassment. You know, I mean, I think it won't be nice to see. You know, but a competitive match is what we want. A 1-0, 2-1, you know, either way is better than a 4-5, 5-0.
Yeah, no doubt. I definitely do agree in the sense that at least a 1-0 would be great either side, you know, but if there's a hammering, then wow, people are never going to forget that result. That's for sure. Well, they won't forget the 1-0 either, but if it's a 3-4-0, it's people will never forget that result.
Yeah, before you do go, I have to get a score prediction from you. And those in the comment section, give us your score prediction. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, yo, I think 2-0 Al Ahly, eh? Sorry, guys.
No, that's 2-0 fair. That's fair. That,
yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
And you?
Ish, man, I won't lie, man. I can't. I have to give it to Kaiser Chiefs. I have to believe. You know, I'm even going home to watch the game with my dad. Him also being a big Kaiser Chiefs fan. I watched the second leg with him. We gave each other the biggest hug ever when we got the when the final whistle was blown. So I'm saying 1-0 to Kaiser Chiefs. 1-0, a headed goal from a corner kick, Matoho or Nukovic in the net. That's my prediction.
No doubt. I hope it comes through. I really hope it does.
No, definitely. No, definitely. I guess, yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, you know that it's up. It's a mountain to climb, but we can only hope. And football is a funny game.
Of course.
Yeah, no. Shakes, thanks again. And thanks for everyone for tuning in, guys. We'll see you guys soon. Cheers.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure.